You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
1 Samuel chapter 6 says this: when the ark of the Lord had been in the Philistine territory 7 months, the Philistine called the priests and the diviners, and they said, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us, we shall send it back to its place." They answered, "If you return the ark of God to Israel, do not send it back without a gift." Someone say, come on, everybody. "By all means, send a guilt offering to him. Then you will be healed. And you will know that is by why his hand has been not been lifted from you." Verse 4, the Philistines asked, "What guilt offering should we send him?" They replied, 5 gold tumors and 5 gold rats, according to the number of Philistine rulers, because of the same plague has struck both you and your rulers. Interesting how they viewed themselves. "Make models of the tumors and the rats that are destroying the country, and give glory to Israel's God. Perhaps he will lift his hand from you and your gods and your land." Verse 6, "Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did?" Just, I want to remind you, this is the false priests, diviners, that are talking to the rulers of the Philistines, which are the enemies of Israel. They're being rebuked by their own false teachers. "Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and the Pharaohs did when Israel's God dealt harshly with them? Did not they send Israelites out so they can go on their way? Now then, get a new cart ready with 2 cows that have calved and have never been yoked. Hitch the cows to the carts and take them back and the cows and pen them up." Let's get down to verse 12, whoever's doing my PowerPoint. "Then the cows went straight up towards Beth Shemesh, keeping on the road, lowing all the way. They did not turn to the right nor to the left. The rulers of the Philistines followed them to the border of Beth Shemesh. So the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting their wheat in the valley. When they looked up, they saw the ark of God. They rejoiced in the sight. The cart came to the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh, and there they stopped beside a large rock. The people chopped up the wood in the cart and sacrificed the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord." Let's skip down, PowerPoint people, to verse 19. It says, "But God struck down some of the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death because they looked into the ark of the Lord. The people mourn because of the heavy blow the Lord dealt with them." Verse 20, "And the people of Beth Shemesh asked, 'Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? To whom will the ark go up from here?'" The title of this prophetic word tonight is Fearing Revival. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you and we acknowledge your presence. Lord, I thank you that your word is going to go forward tonight. Lord, I thank you for this pulpit that makes average men great, because you are the gift giver and you have breathed upon this place. So I pray that you would breathe upon this place again, that you would kiss this place. I pray that you would blow your spirit, your wind of your spirit onto this place, Lord. I pray for waves of the glory. I pray for another wave tonight, God. Lord, I pray that your presence would rest in this place, God. I pray tonight it would be established for generations to come into this place. So Lord, we declare, Lord, that your word is holy because you are holy. We reverence your word. We honor your word. We declare that your word is right and every man's a liar. We adhere to your word today. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name that your word be established among the mountaintops and the hilltops. Lord, I thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain. Father, I pray that you give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying in Jesus' mighty name. We declare, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Ma'am, what's your name? You just stood up and sat down. What is it? Kimberly? Lift your hands, Kimberly. as you just stood and honored the word, I pray right now that the Lord is going to honor you. I pray right now for vindication. I pray for vindication for the thing that has been stolen from you, the thing that has been taken from you without permission. It's been stolen, stolen, stolen. I pray tonight's message is a prophetic war. It's a prophetic act. It's a prophetic word to your life that the thing the enemy stolen, not only is he bringing it back, but he's bringing it back with gifts. Father, I pray, Lord, that she has honored your word and honored your house. So I pray the honor of God, the presence of God, the favor of God comes to her house this night in Jesus' mighty name. Fearing revival. Revival will come to the church when the fear of the Lord returns. The Lord told me to minister tonight on the topic of the fear of the Lord. You know the story, if you've been following, even if you're here this morning, the Ark of God was taken last month at the revival service, or whenever I was here last 2 months ago, whatever it was. I ministered from 1 Samuel chapter 5. I briefly mentioned it this morning. They took the false god Dagon, the father of Baal. They took the false god Dagon and they took the Ark of God when the Philistines lost it, and they brought it and they put the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, next to the false god Dagon. And he woke up the next morning and their false god was on its face, and they set it back up, and the next morning it was broken to pieces. And I revealed the revelation that the Lord gave me, that Dagon was showing you how to submit to the Holy Spirit. So then I get into 1 Samuel chapter 6, and I just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I say this every time I'm here. Listen, church, if you want God to speak to you, pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have a prayer language, ask the Lord for the prayer language, because he's a good father that gives generously to all that ask. I speak in tongues all the time, and I honestly always think about it. I need to speak in tongues more, because the downloads of heaven that come. I had a friend of mine who was all of a sudden gets a phone call to go minister to these high-ranking world political leaders. Presidents of nations were gathering at this place, and he said, Lord, why are you sending me? I didn't ask you to send me. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, you did. He goes, when did I ask you? He said, you were speaking in tongues. The best thing that you can do in your prayer life is say the Lord's Prayer, and after you say your will be done, just start praying in the Holy Ghost. I was praying in the Holy Ghost over this, and I'm telling you, the Lord began to reveal his heart, I believe, for revival. I believe tonight is going to be one of the pillars that you pivot off to, Pastor Paul and Pastor Kim, to the next season of stewarding revival. 1 Samuel chapter 6, the Philistine leaders had the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant was creating calamity on their people. Tumors were breaking out. Sickness was breaking out. So they said, we must get this ark out of here. We must get the presence of God out of here. Because how many know the presence of God torments those that won't submit to it? It's interesting that in 1 Samuel 6, 2, it says they must get the ark of the Lord out of here. This is the first time that the Philistines acknowledged the Lord Yahweh is Jehovah, the true God. They said, we must get this true God out of here, because this true God, it reveals what's fake. Need a little more monitor, not in the house, but a little more monitor. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to me that we're going to start seeing an authentic move of the Spirit that's going to expose what's fake. I keep seeing visions of Moses and Aaron throwing down their staffs, and those snakes eating up the false teachers and the witchcraft or the magician snakes in front of Pharaoh. I feel like it's going to happen in the church. I keep seeing this. So the church is going to come out, watch, and the fake churches, the fake moves of the Spirit, the propaganda or the marketed revivals are going to throw down their sticks and nothing's going to happen. But those that carry the presence of God are going to throw it down, and you're going to see the true church revealed, the true power of God revealed. They acknowledge the true God. They acknowledge He is the Lord. Revival is when the world cannot not acknowledge it. I love the word of knowledge that go forward. I love the move of the Spirit that goes forward because you cannot not acknowledge it. Here's what they said. They said, take a new cart, verse 7. Take a new cart. It's very interesting that even the Philistine leaders understood what God was doing. They even had a reverence for the things of God. Numbers 4, chapter 20, it says this, you must not go and look at the, or excuse me, verse 19, it says, I got 1 Samuel 6, 2, it said they took the ark and they came back and they said, we must bring gifts with it. We must bless them with it. We cannot take this back empty-handed. They saw the crushing blow of what the presence of God did in their life. And the Bible says that they came back in verse 7 and they said, we're going to take it back on a new cart that had never been yoked. What does it mean to be a new cart? It means it never served another purpose. Hear this. If we're going to steward the presence of God in purity, there cannot be other agendas. So many people want God to bless them, but their reasoning for God to bless them begins and ends with them. My spiritual father was John Paul Jackson, prophet. And when he went to, before he went to go be with the Lord, he told me about some things he encountered with God. And one time the Lord took him up to heaven. And he said when he was in heaven, he said the awe and the wonder, the power of God made you feel this big. And he came back, and there's a lot of people that pretend to go to heaven and they get prayer meetings and they sit around tables. They're like, oh, we're going to go to heaven. No, you didn't. You didn't go to heaven. You're just weird. But I do believe that there are true encounters that God has. I have never been to heaven. I've never vividly seen an angel. I have felt the presence of angels, but I've never seen them. And I don't have to make up me seeing them to feel more spiritual than those that do see them. Come on, somebody. I have a gift. I use the gifts God given me. Lord knows they're not much. I've begged Him for the gifts that I do have. And every day I ask for more. I've been doing it since I was 18 years old. I'm 33. It's been my heart's cry, my heart's prayer. It was amazing. We're singing that song. I never heard it before, but use me for your glory. That has been my heart's cry and prayer since I was 18 years old. Lord, use my life for your glory or take it. But we don't need somebody else's gifts so that we can feel good about ourselves. That's why we're having other speakers and different people coming in for the revival services, because there's different gifts allotted. John Paul told me, he said when he got back from heaven, he said for about a day and a half, he was upset with the Lord. I said, you were upset with God? What's wrong with you? And he said, because I knew that with one little ounce of the power of God, you can, that if God gave him one little ounce, a grain of salt of the power of God, you could point at a hospital and everybody in the hospital would come out completely healed. And he said to the Lord, he said, why wouldn't you give us this? Why wouldn't you give us this power? And he said, because if I gave you that power, it would, your pride would consume you and you would end up in hell. That it's the grace of God and the mercy of God that sometimes He withholds what you've prayed for. Come on, somebody. This is deep stuff tonight. See, there comes to a place where you have to understand His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But that the Bible says that they put it on a new cart, something that wasn't for another purpose. What I love and respect so much about Fresh Start Church, and I believe that this prophetic message is even type and shadow of this church, as this church has made it clear that this is going to be a revival hub or nothing.
Because if we brought church growth strategists into this place, they would say, you're doing it wrong. Because I was in the back this Sunday morning, and they had to bring in four rows of chairs. Four new rows over and over. They're out of room. So what you should do is you should go to four services and cut them down to 30 minutes apiece. And that's how we would grow. That is the strategy. But watch. But that's not a new cart.
Come on, hear this.
See, that has another purpose. See, that has the hand marks of man all over it. That has the strategy of men all. Come on. How does a Philistine ruler know a strategy to steward the presence of God? Oh. It has to be a new cart because God is doing a new thing. Here's what it says. It says verse 19. I want to jump ahead to verse 19. It says, but God struck down some of the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death because they looked into the ark of God. I want to preach now. As soon as I read it 10 times. I just kept reading it. Where's it going? And Holy Spirit, where are you going with this? And I heard him speak to me so clearly. I was running on Osage Drive in Leander, Texas. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, it's about the fear of the Lord. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this, this is the portion of scripture that Indiana Jones reflects. I don't even remember what episode it was, but the Indiana Jones, come on, someone let me watch it when I was a kid, and it just haunted me for years to come, where he looked into the Ark of the Covenant. It was like the most cheesy, you know, his face goes white, turns into, reminded me of like Christmas, the Home Alone, when he gets electrocuted and he becomes a skeleton, you know what I mean? Marv or whatever his name was. You know what I'm talking about? Where his face melts off. I don't know you. You got a good spirit. I like you. So this is where they got that from. That 70 individuals looked into the ark of God and God smote them on the spot. Now here's what's interesting. We don't know why they were looking into the ark of God. It could have been curiosity. It could have been any other reason. But here's the problem is whatever the reason was that caused them to look into the ark of God, the first thing that had to cease in their life was the fear of the Lord. Man was originally ruined by desiring knowledge that was forbidden to him. This goes back all the way to the garden with Adam and Eve, where God said, do not touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they desired knowledge. Watch, they desired what they could not have. I'm telling you, there is not a difference between that boundary and the sexual boundaries God has provided for us in his word that are established here today. We always want what God says, don't touch. That's why single people, if you're not pure single, you won't be pure married even when the boundaries are open to you. Even if you marry that individual, you have cheated on them with them before it was sanctioned to you by heaven. We have to fight for purity. Let me just minister to parents. Take away phones. Turn off Netflix. Help set up parameters in this evil world. Let me help you parents. You're not called to be your child's best friend. You're called to be their parent. You're called to be their judge. They lost the fear of the Lord. But here's the problem. The Bible says that in Psalms verse 11, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So watch, they're looking for knowledge when God has already supplied wisdom that comes through the fear of the Lord. Numbers chapter 4, verse 20, God commanded them, you must not look at the holy things, even for a moment, or you will die. Church, we cannot forsake the word of the Lord. We cannot ignore the warnings of God. We cannot ignore the warnings in Scripture. But they ignored it. They lost their reverence. They lost their respect. And it's crazy as their enemies showed more fear of the Lord than they did. They lost the fear of the Lord.
And here's what's sad, is losing the fear of the Lord is prequel to sin. Adam and Eve lost the fear of the Lord before they took the fruit. It is the prequel to the fall of man. What is it when I say the fear of the Lord? Let me just teach on this for a brief moment. The fear of the Lord is the reverence or the position to receive. As this lady stood up and reverenced the word of God, when everybody else sat, it was fine to sit. No one asked you to stand. But for some reason, something came up in her that she had to stand in that moment. It was a reverence for the things of God. Or watch, it positioned her to receive. I even forgot this is in my notes. But she positioned herself to receive before a word came and blessed her. The fear of the Lord positions your life to receive from God. The fear of the Lord is reverence for God, respect for His law, His will, His government, Himself, the fear of offending Him, which leads us to do what's right. So watch. It's not that I cannot engage in sin. It's I love Him so much that I can't go near that stuff. I don't cheat on my wife because I'm not attracted to other women. Get real. I don't cheat on my wife because I love her more than any other woman. Did it just get too real? So what I do is I guard my eyes so that there won't be a temptation that comes in, watch, that I have to fight out later. Well, you can look, but you can't touch. I promise you, if you look, you'll be touching something. Come on, somebody. I heard a pastor from the pulpit a few years ago say, ladies, you're just jealous of everything, and that's why you're always worried about your husband looking. I was like, what, Lord, are you about to burn this place down? What's... Literally, the fear of the Lord. She said, you can look as long as you don't touch. I almost ripped my clothes off and said, Ichabod, I had abs back then. It would have been cool, but I didn't do it. But I had to look my wife in the face after the service. I'm like, hey, you know that was heresy, right? You know, there was nothing biblical about that. You know what happened when David started looking? And his heart was way better than yours. Come on, somebody. See, but the problem is what you begin to gaze at, you begin to entertain. Isn't that what happened with the spotted and speckled sheep? Whatever they looked at, they became? Why do you think this generation is so perverted? Because we have Instagram helping them become what they're seeing. Come on, somebody. The fear of the Lord is reverence. The fear of the Lord is His will. The fear of the Lord is you don't want to break relationship. Man, we can't teach this enough. It's not that God won't love you anymore. He loves you to death. He loves the hell out of you, literally. It's not that He won't love you anymore. But if you weren't in relationship before Him, you won't be in relationship after your sin. If you continue to live a life of sin. But somewhere, the fear of the Lord is lost when it's all you have is a grace doctrine that tells you you can do what you want, live how you want, say what you want, drink what you want, be with who you want to. And it doesn't matter because Jesus is your homeboy. He cannot be your homeboy if He's not your Lord. The church has lost the fear of God, where we can do what we want and say what we want. There's no respect for the altar. There's no respect for the worship. There's no respect for the man of God anymore. There's no respect for the anointing anymore. Listen, I'm not talking about brown nosing some preacher. I'm talking about that you fear God, so you be careful what you say on Facebook. I'm telling you, when it's election time, people are all sorts of crazy. Everything in me, I want to say, excuse me, pastor, what is your problem? But a couple scriptures go through my head about honoring your elders. And I got to remind myself, I'm 33.
You know what that means? Shut up. Some of you need that fear of the Lord filter. That as much as you want, we need the fear of the Lord. That we care more, listen, about not offending God. Ephesians 5 says, find out what pleases the Lord. No, no, none of this am I going to go to hell nonsense. I'm saying, does it please the Lord? Does your lifestyle please the Lord? Does your attendance in that movie theater please the Lord? Does your attendance in that conversation please the Lord? Have you ever been in the middle of a conversation kind of around the holiday and people just start talking about stuff and everybody's supposed to be saved and sanctified, but all of a sudden all conversation is turned negative about other individuals and all of a sudden your spirit feels like knives are being twisted in it? You're faced with a choice to either please the crowd, please the party, or fear the Lord. Listen, it comes down to, Lord, does my life please you? Do my finances please you? Do what I'm giving please you? Do my words please you? Well, I'm just a little rough around my edges. No, your words don't please him. Excuse my French. It's not French. It's called cursing. Does it please you? How many noticed that atmosphere shift when I talked about money this morning? How many noticed that? It was a tangible shift. You know what I like to do? I like just to punch it. Do you know my wife and I accidentally double tithed this month? It was an accident. I looked at our I was like, what happened to our money? What did you do? Going through closets, looking. It's got to be somewhere. She's like, well, I tithe. I was like, you tithe, I tithe. Why'd you tithe? I'm the tither. Literally, this is the conversation in our kitchen. Why are you tithing? Stop it. True story. True story. Literally, as we're arguing about who is the designated tither. I kid you not. She gets an email and literally on the spot that goes to a client and sells a house the next day. I was like, we should accidentally double tithe a lot more. Listen, it's about honoring God. You mean to tell me you want to argue with me if tithing's Old Testament or New Testament when Jesus gave everything, you're arguing about what you have to give? I'm not arguing with you. Go get counseling somewhere. Come on, somebody. No. We're talking about honor. We're talking about we get to give. We're talking about that we get to sow into souls. We get to sow into the kingdom. And we get to see people saved and set free. I don't know if she's here, but anyone to see the lady that was pregnant with twins come down to the altar and give her life to the Lord. Listen, eternity is at stake with the lives of those children. You know what I saw tonight? I saw little babies worshiping. They're sitting right there. You're not babies. You're all tough guys. Studs right there. But I saw them worshiping. And you know what went through my head? Was they'll never know what it's not like to be in this presence. Who's financing the expansion? Who's financing the next vision? Who's on their face before the Lord? And the Lord's giving you strategy for revival. Before the Lord gives you, they're giving you strategy for financing the revival. Before your pastors ever even get it for revival. I'm talking about honoring God. I'm talking about you begin to dream heaven's dreams that aren't about you anymore. They don't begin and end with you, but they begin with the presence of God, the fear of the Lord, and they echo through eternity. I'm telling you, I've lived this stuff. I was living in Phoenix when I made the decision that I was going to write this book on homosexuality, and I didn't want to write the book because I knew that I was going to get bashed constantly for it. And that people who had never read the book or never met me would judge me and have no tolerance for me.
And I was walking downtown Phoenix, and I was like, and I was using my kids and my wife as an excuse. Lord, I don't want to put them through it. But the truth is I didn't want to go through it. I want to be liked. I want to have friends. I need more than a friend than just Steve. I want to be popular. You write a book like that, you're not going to get invited places. Come on, somebody. And I was walking down the road. I was downtown Phoenix, just walking, praying, kind of pleading my case to the Lord. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, son, this is a battle worth fighting. People tell me all the time, Landon, you're so brave. I get messages daily. You're so brave. You're so bold. Do you know I don't feel brave or bold ever? Do you know I feel probably as scared as you? I just am more afraid of not obeying God than I am of them. Come on, hear this. The fear of the Lord changes you. The fear of the Lord maneuvers you. The fear of the Lord causes you to do what you cannot do, but you fear Him. You love Him so much. You change your plan. You move cities. You change the agenda. You give it all. You go for broke. You lay it down. You deny your flesh because you love Him. The fear of God is the acknowledgement of God. The fear of God is a holy fear that's birthed in love. Fear of God, please do not confuse it with the perverted fear of the adversary. Unfortunately, the same way we use love to define things of the flesh and the things of the spirit, we use fear to define the things of the flesh and spirit. I am not talking for one moment about being afraid of God or scared of God. I'm not talking about the carnal, foul, perverted fear that we see in movie theaters that we're in love with. I'm talking about a holy fear. 1 John 4:8 says perfect love drives out that unholy fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. When the Bible's talking about an ungodly fear, it's using the Greek word phobos, which we get phobia or terror or fear. We have to understand the difference between a godly fear, a holy fear, and a carnal fear. Let me give you a few examples. Godly fear keeps us reverent to God and His mighty power. Carnal fear dismisses God's power for temporal conflicts. Godly fear gives you respect for His law and His word. Carnal fear causes you to diminish God's law and embrace a life of disobedience. Godly fear causes you to desire God's will to be done in your life, while a carnal fear replaces God's desire with your own desire. Godly fear establishes His government and His kingdom. A carnal fear establishes your kingdom and your finances. Godly fear causes you to be a fear of offending Him, while carnal fear causes you to care about what other people think about you instead of what God says about you. The fear of the Lord changes everything. The fear of the Lord changes what you do in life, how you do it in life, from every part of your life. The fear of the Lord causes you to parent patiently. The fear of the Lord, I used to say marriage was God's attack on selfishness. Now that I have two children, I say children are God's nuclear war on selfishness. Heather and I find ourselves exhausted all the time. I'll get off the road. She's in the air right now flying. She did a woman's conference in LA, preached Sunday morning. Pastor just texted me and just said, your wife is on fire. I'm here. We're Chris traveling the Trump country. This has been our life. It's nonstop. And sometimes we get home and we got two kids that need attention. They need mommy and their daddy. And we look at each other. We're just exhausted. But if the fear of the Lord is what causes me to do what I don't want to do,
because I refuse to be the preacher that gives it all for the people of God and there's nothing left for his family. Because we refuse to be the team that pours out and loves the bride but forgets to love each other. Come on, somebody. It causes you to do what you don't want to do. It causes you to go out and date night and spend what you don't want to spend. It causes you to invest what you don't want to invest when you love in other individuals, when you fear God. It changes every aspect of your life. Hear this. The fear of the Lord changes you. 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says this, you perfect holiness out of reverence for God. 1 Samuel 6:19, but God struck them down, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 to death because they looked into the ark of God. They lost the fear of the Lord, and it caused them to look on the things of God with a casual behavior, a casual disposition that cost them everything.
I was on my prayer run running on Osage Drive, and I heard the Holy Spirit so clearly say, remember Ananias and Sapphira. Come on, the grace people love this message. Acts 5:1. I'm a grace guy too. I'm just grace and truth. Acts 5, chapter 1 says, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money for himself. Remember, he didn't have to do this. There was no obligation to give. This is only his own sin. But brought the rest to the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how has Satan filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and you have kept for yourself money that you received from the land? Verse 4, didn't it all belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think to do such a thing? That's powerful. You have not lied to human beings, but to God. Verse 5, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died in great fear. Sees all that heard what had happened. His wife comes in, the exact same thing happened. Peter said to her, verse 9, how can you conspire to test the spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they are going to carry you out also. Verse 10, at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside the husband. This is the New Testament, y'all. Verse 11, great fear seized the whole church that heard about the event. I've heard false teachers on YouTube corrupt this scripture, so let's not get it twisted. Ananias and Sapphira were not wolves in sheep's clothing. Ananias and Sapphira, by all biblical references, belong to the church. They were churchgoers. They were part of the New Testament Book of Acts church. Are you with me? So they lied to the Holy Spirit. For whatever reasons, we are unaware to. But what we do know is that they lost the fear of the Lord. And because they lost the fear of the Lord, it cost them their life. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, the church is dying because we've lost the fear of the Lord. Hear this. The church is dying. Because we've lost the fear of the Lord. Worship team, slowly start making your way up here. We do what we want to do. We preach what we want to preach. We plan our services. We strategize everything without the counsel of the Lord, without seeking God. We have lost the fear of the Lord, and it's costing us our life. It's costing us the church. It's costing us America. 1 Samuel 6:20, they said, who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? I want you to know that the fear of the Lord brings an acknowledgement that he's a holy God. Without holiness, you will lose the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about religion.
I'm not talking about legalism. Listen, but it's not legalism to pursue holiness, because God calls his own spirit a holy spirit. They call his word the holy word. He's a holy God. I'm not talking about rules and regulation. I'm wearing rips in my jeans and a t-shirt tonight, and somebody on Facebook will mention it. I'm not talking about an outward appearance. I'm talking about the inward parts of your heart need to be holy and dedicated to the Lord. We've lost the fear of God, and our churches are dying.
There's entire denominations, and I would say them, but my wife would tell me not to. Entire denominations that are dead, that now they're not even men of God. They're just activists.
You know you've lost the fear of God. Oh, I see it on Facebook on a daily basis. When you begin to mock scripture with other scripture, close in sin, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
That's the attitudes. 1 John 3:16 tells us that if you continue to sin, you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil.
Because you've never seen him nor known him. Hebrews tells us if we knowingly keep sinning, there's no sacrifice for sin left, because you've perverted the spirit of grace. Where's the fear of the Lord? Where we reverence God's word. Where we don't just twist and manipulate. Where's the fear of God? Nah. When liars are stealing money on TV. Steve and I were in a service. Some guy began to manipulate for money. I literally got off the platform and I said, I could have nothing to do with this. Don't clap. It's not for me. I said, I fear God to be too close when the lightning strikes. Within a few months, that man's ministry was turned upside down. Hey, you remember that church I told you that the pastor said you could look and don't touch? They were divorced. 10 months later, the church no longer exists. Where's the fear of the Lord? Where's the fear of the Lord that even if you don't agree with them, that you make sure that you don't touch the Lord's anointing, even if the anointing has left their life? Look at it. I feel the Holy Ghost. It wasn't David's, when David said, don't touch the Lord's anointing, he wasn't talking about Saul. Saul wasn't anointed. It's gonna mess with some of your doctrine. The anointing was taken from Saul. David was the anointed one. When he said, the Lord forbid that I touch the anointing, he was saying, if I attack Saul, I'm coming against my anointing. Oh, because if I act like Saul, I'll become Saul. Where you fear God, so you don't give him a piece of your mind. That you fear God, so you don't say what needs to be said. You fear God. Come on, somebody. That you don't step out of place. You fear God, so you keep your mouth shut. Isn't it amazing that our mouth flies when it doesn't honor God? And when it's time to stand up for justice, righteousness, and holiness, we're scared speechless. That you fear God. You worry about offending him. I'm not talking about living in a fear. But when you do your taxes, you fear God. When you vote, you fear God. When you live life, you fear God. We have lost the fear of the Lord. And that's why we've lost revival.
But if you want to return to revival, then we have to return to the fear of God, where we no longer worry about sin anymore. We just quote a grace scripture and go on living in sin. Listen, I'm not talking about making mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of God's glory. I'm talking about you don't care about it anymore. I'm talking about it doesn't concern you anymore. That it's become a lifestyle of sin. They said, who can stand in front of this holy God? Verse 11 of Acts 5, watch what it says. It says, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about it. I'm almost done. Go to the next verse, in verse 12. Watch. When Ananias and Sapphira died, the fear of God fell. When the 70 looked into the ark in Beth-Shemesh, the fear of God fell in that place. Look what the next happened. This is the very next verse. The apostles performed many signs and many wonders among the people. This is prophecy, church. This is prophecy for Fresh Start. When the fear of God came on the book of Acts church, many signs, many wonders among the people, and all of the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded as people. It says, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number daily. Watch. When the fear of the Lord came, signs and wonders came, and the church exploded. Can I tell you what that's called? Stand your feet all over the place. That's called revival. It's called revival. Signs and wonders. An insane, radical multiplication and growth. Because the fear of the Lord, revival changes everything. The Bible says that they feared God, and there was an explosion of the Spirit of God. There was an explosion of miracles. There was an explosion of growth. I know you're tired, so we need to close. I can feel it. The fear of the Lord requires holiness. You know, when you don't talk about holiness and righteousness, that place has lost the fear of the Lord. When there's no holiness or righteousness in your life, you know you've lost the fear of the Lord. My question to you tonight, have you lost the fear of the Lord? What is the response to the fear of the Lord? Last scripture, and we're done with this portion. Revelations 1:17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. This is John on the island of Patmos. As he has the revelation of the end days and writes the book of Revelation. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. When you have the fear of the Lord, you fall at his feet and become dead to sin and alive in Christ. Every eye closed tonight. I didn't ask you if you're saved. We did salvation this morning. I'm asking you tonight, have you lost the fear of the Lord? Do you reverence him like you should? Have you become casual in your relationship with the Lord? Do you fear him? Are you living carnal? Are you living casual? What area of your life have you ceased fearing the Lord. Do you fear him? Do you fear this holy God? Tonight, I believe that there's going to be a pivotal shift in this house, a pillar established, that this house fears the Lord. I know with all of my heart that your leadership fears God, because no one creates church growth suicide and alters everything for a revival when you don't fear God. Your church leader has said it's either revival or nothing. They burn the plow. There's nothing to go back to. But I feel that the church has to meet the leadership at this place of total surrender. The Bible said that there was a man named Job who feared God and shunned evil. And God said, there's no one like him. In fact, he said, Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? I believe that God is going to spotlight this house to the nation. Not because how great you are, not because how anointed, not because how you prophesy, but because this house fears God. I pray, let the fear of God fall on this place tonight and never leave. It says, when they saw Jesus, they fell at his feet like a dead man. This is to every leader, every pastor, every sound booth worker, every volunteer. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've served the Lord. I'm not talking about heaven and hell. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about relationship. Have you lost your fear? Ananias and Sapphira were believers that lost the fear of the Lord. Beth Shemesh was a place of God, of leaders. They lost the fear of the Lord. Have you lost your fear? This evening, if you've lost your fear of the Lord, I want you to come find it again at this altar. You can kneel where you're at. You can do whatever you want. But if you say, Landon, there's an area in my life I've lost the fear of the Lord, come to this altar quickly. Worship team, just begin to play. There's no room up here. You can kneel where you're at. Doesn't matter. Just create an altar. And I want you to pray this prayer. You could pray it at any volume. Any volume you want to. You can whisper it. You can yell it. Just say, Lord, let me experience your fear. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to lean into it right now. Come on, whatever sin is in your life, just begin to confess it before the Lord. Whatever stronghold, whatever area of compromise, wherever you've given the enemy a foothold, just begin to declare it right now. Just begin to repent of it right now. Just begin to declare, Father, I want your fear. Ask it. Let the fear of the Lord come back to my life. Let the fear of the Lord come back to my family. Come on, just begin to repent. Let our hearts cry of repentance. This is the ministry of Jesus. This is the message of Jesus. His first message was on repentance. His first message was on return from your sin. Turn from your sin and come to God. This is the heart's cry of the gospel. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name, let your holy fear return to your people. Let your holy fear return to your house. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, God, that we would be people that fear you and shun evil. Father, let a holy visitation come to this place.
place. Let us experience the fear of the Lord. Come on, just begin to pray, you and God tonight. You and God tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.